What up, though? It's your boy GameCube, that dude, aka the Black Ninja, back at it again for a new episode. But just wanted to take a second to let you know this originally was supposed to be a free episode, but we got a bunch of new music that dropped today. You can blame Marv One, the Marvelous One. You can blame him. Because that new album made me just release this. I'm going to give this to y'all now on Patreon. And I may even throw up a mix that I just did the other day. But originally, it was supposed to be the free episode that was released today, Friday. But I'm going to give it to y'all on Patreon, so y'all can get it right now. And then it's going to be released again next week. For free next Friday. So if you're hearing this next Friday, I know it's going to sound a little bit outdated. As far as sports, but as far as the hip-hop and the nerd edition of this, it's still going to be relevant, still going to be on point. But make sure you sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/MCNerdJockShow, and you can stay up to date with the episodes as soon as they drop. Hopefully you guys enjoy this, and I will be back soon with a brand new episode Monday for you guys. Deuces.
Game, welcome back to the MC Nerdjock Show with your host, GameCube Dad Dude.
What up, though? And we back. Man, I guess I got too excited. Too happy, man. I had this, I thought I had this tournament locked down, man. Nope. Not even close. I mean, technically, my percentage is still good. One of my brackets, I got 97.8%. And the other, I have 96.9% correct. But problem when you get into the Sweet 16, I only have so many teams that are actually still in it for me. All right, let's see. Right now, we got... I got UConn. I picked them over San Diego State. I got Illinois over Iowa State. So both of those I got right. I had North Carolina over Alabama, like most people did. Giant, giant upset, of course. So UNC's out. I had Arizona, like most people. Clemson took care of them real quick, right quick. And this Houston and Duke game is close right now. 5.5 minutes left. Duke is up 48-46. Now, one of my brackets, I have Purdue going all the way. So that's the one that I'm naming off to you right now. That one, like I said, I have Purdue all the way. So I have Houston beating Duke. Then, let's see. The next thing, I had University of Kentucky, so that's, you know, that's all whack. Then I have Purdue and Tennessee, so we'll see. Tennessee's up 62-52 with about 9.5 minutes left against Creighton. So we'll see how that ends up. And that's actually my higher percentage. The one that I have Duke winning it all, that one I'm at 96, like I said, just a little bit under. Let's see, I have UConn, Illinois, and UNC, Arizona, Duke over Houston. I have Marquette somehow in the spot. Oh, yeah, because this is the one where I had OU win it. I picked the bracket, so I had OU beating Kentucky, and then I had Marquette beating NC State, but Marquette lost. So they kind of ruined that perfect bracket over there for me. And then I got Purdue and Tennessee on this one as well. So we'll see, man. We'll see how it goes. It's been a very interesting tournament, to say the least, for sure. And honestly, I feel like, you know, that's every year. I guess that's why I like it so much. You know what I mean? That's why I enjoy this tournament so much. It's because of the excitement that you get. You know what I mean? You get from literally every game, especially those first two rounds. So please bear with me if I think I told you guys this. Nah, see, I'm going to get myself in trouble for not going back and listening to the podcast. But I think I told y'all how I had this teacher in eighth grade who, shout out to Mr. Warren. He used to take, I don't remember if he took both days, but he definitely took at least one day every year, either that Thursday or that Friday. I think it was that Friday. That Thursday, he toughed it out. Or he might not. I don't remember. He might have taken both days. But every year, that was his one vacation. We already knew. Come into March, Mr. Warren was going to be gone for that, either that, you know what I mean, for those NCAA tournament first days. And I always thought that was cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he made sure that, like, his, you know what I mean? He enjoyed college basketball. So he made sure that, hey, I am going to make the things that I enjoy a priority. So I learned that from him, you know, like seventh or eighth grade. so they definitely thank you for that. And so when I, you know, became an adult and started working, I made sure I took it off every year. beginning of March, I let him know, hey, at the end of the year, I need this Thursday, I need this Friday off. I'll work Saturday. I'm cool with that. After the first 2 days, I'll work Saturday, Sunday if I need to, at least back then. But I need that Thursday, Friday. I need that. So yeah, man. Favorite time of the year. So I don't know if y'all saw, man, Ice Cube out here making some moves, making some splashes in the basketball world. And really what's been a big splash is this, he offered a contract of $5 million for 8 regular season games and 2 potential playoff games to none other than Caitlin Clark. Yeah, you heard it right. Caitlin Clark. And I gotta say, man, I'm okay with that. I'm cool with it. Why not? We just had this discussion on the last podcast, right? That some real hoopers, some real female hoopers are better than a lot of guy hoopers that I know, right? With all that being said, I don't have professional basketball players as friends. So... female hoopers that I know that can really hoop, I don't know that they're gonna get out there and I don't even say dominate, but like compete against professional basketball players. I don't even know that I can. I don't know if I'll be really scoring. I mean, I think I can play defense against anybody, because I just think highly of my defense. But I mean, when I say that, like, I might hold an NBA player to, you know, 10, 15 points, and that's being realistic, right? Because the NBA players, they're gonna get their shot no matter how good defense I'm playing. If Matt Barnes is guarding them and they still scoring points, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't expect to hold, you know, NBA players to 0 points, you know, goose eggs. So yeah, man, I think that I like it. I like the move. I just don't know. That's a lot of pressure on her. I mean, she's up for the challenge, you know. Applause, you know what I mean? Hand claps, shoulder pats, you know what I mean? Fist bumps. Because definitely, that takes a lot of courage, a lot of confidence. I mean, it's doable. It's got to happen at some time, some point. At some point, as the game keeps progressing and the female game gets better and better, because I still think that some of the female like some of the college coaches and females of the college, or some of the coaches in the WNBA are better than their male counterparts, I think. So it'll be interesting. Real interesting. Couple of people are already getting mad at it. I think it was Gil's podcast, Gilbert Arenas. And he was, they were talking about it, and Kenya Martin kind of went in. let me see if I can get the mic up to this.
Participate and he put her out there. Could you imagine her being matched up and Reggie guarding her for one? Mm-hmm. For two of them, her being it's 3-on-3. She can't hide nowhere. Guarding Reggie Evans out there.
She's going to score.
Huh? She ain't.
No, she's not. No, she's not. You don't think she's going to score a point?
No, she would not score.
I think she would
score. She would not score one.
Score.
That's brute basketball.
Lexi.
I think she would score.
It's 3-on-3. She can't hide nowhere.
How's she going to get the ball, Pat? She going to take the ball out?
She going to take the ball out, then what?
They're going to pick her up right soon as that
soon
line
as she
comes.
Take,
soon
you know,
as she try to cross that line. Boom.
It's a step under, like, it's a step under prison ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Prison ball, you got a big three. Like, I was telling my partner at MG, me and MG was talking. I'm like, can you imagine her getting stuck? Take,
as soon as she try to cross that line. Boom.
What? And it's, and it's done, right? Because them 10 was good. Dude.
I only went to one game and I didn't.
He played in it.
Hey, y'all played in it.
I wouldn't even take the ball out. Y'all crazy.
Listen, hey, yo, Rashawn McMahon saw Allen Iverson out there, his fucking eyes lit up.
Hell yeah. Beat that man up. That man's like, yeah, I'm not going
to. Yeah, I'm not playing no more this shit.
So, yeah, man. That's a take. And honestly, it's not. I get what they're saying, and it's a touchy subject, right? It's hard to, like, be able to analyze this and talk about it without it sounding sexist. But, I mean, some stuff is just kind of reality, right? So, the reality is that, obviously, Caitlin Clark is smaller than someone like Reggie Evans. Would she be guarded by Reggie Evans every single time? No, obviously. She might have some favorable matchups in that regard, but I mean, I think I don't know. That's the thing, right? No one really knows, like, how different the game is, right? We don't really know until we see male and female play against each other at a high level. Then we can really say, okay, well, this is the difference. Okay. That's, you know, how much of a difference is. Obviously, we know that there's a difference, but the real question is how much of a difference is the female game compared to the male game? No one really knows because no one's playing both, right? So this is an opportunity. I see a lot of things. You know, you saw it first with the 3-point contest, the intersex 3-point contest. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of, like I said, one day. I mean, there's like multiple females in high school and in college that are dunking now. So we're getting there. They keep feeding us these big old chicken breasts. The next USA women's basketball team is going to be throwing alley-oops. It's going to look like Lob City. It's going to look like the 2010 Los Angeles Clippers out here. You know what I mean? Like Houston back. What was that? Man. They had like a fraternity name. I forget what they called them. Something Dunk. Somebody screaming at the radio right now, telling at their phone, like, man, I forgot what it was. Something Dunk or something. Dunkify Dunker or something. I don't know. Something. Nah, I gotta look it up. That's just how I am, man. I gotta find it out. Nickname. Let's see. University of Houston nickname. Who was there? Let's see. Akeem Olajuwon is part of that team, I think. What was that Houston team called? That's gonna bother me real bad. I'm sorry, y'all. We have to edit this part out. Gonna bother me now. Alright, well, we'll figure it out. Not this time, though. I ain't gonna waste your time. Yeah, man. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. See how these things shape up over these next few weeks as we get to the end of college basketball and start heading into the NBA playoffs. I'm be honest, I haven't really been following the NBA the way that I want to. I wanted to tell y'all, speaking of the NBA, so the Pistons, for all local people out here in the Detroit area, the Pistons in the month of April are going to be airing 5 of their games across non-pay, like, right, so regular TV. I forget what the actual, like, TV name is for that, but they'll be airing 5 games on TV 20. Back when I was growing up, that used to be WB. But so the game against Memphis, April 1st, I guess it would be today, the day that I'm dropping this, right? And then we got April 9th at Philly, April 10th for Chicago, April 12th at Dallas, and the last game would be April 14th at San Antonio. And that will be aired locally, so it'll be free as long as you have regular cable. Do you have a cable that you can plug right into your TV, hook right up to your TV? Then you can get TV 20. I think it's all digital now anyway. So if you have a TV, you plug it in, you search for channels, you should be able to pick up TV 20. So now, I think it's been like since 07, 08, since they did that, or since like the Pistons aired on local TV. So this will be kind of nice. It'll be real nice. Real nice. Real nice.
Down the industry on some shit, on some power shit.
Dog, that's my man's in them. So what I'm doing?
Right.
My man's in them is doing. Because.
Right.
That's my man's in them. You know.
I feel you.
Now you feel me.
I feel you.
So you know when you fucking with me.
Right.
you fucking with.
Uh-oh. What have you done now? Told y'all niggas. Just don't listen. Why must you be hard-headed? Tried to explain, but you didn't hear me though.
Crazy. I'm telling you, man, that's one of the best intros ever. Ever. For real. So, man, I play that because, there's been a lot going around about DMX and that infamous tour. Shoot, now the name of it slips me, but it was Jay-Z, DMX, Ja Rule, Method Man, Redman. And I apologize if I'm missing anybody in between. State Property was there. But yeah, it was the Rockefeller Rough Rider Tour. 97, 98-ish. And DMX is getting his flowers. Obviously, slightly late. Not slightly, definitely late. But Jay-Z said something. He was on the shop like a year or two ago, and he had mentioned how intimidating DMX, like nobody wanted to go after DMX at the shows during that run and during that concert tour. He actually kind of talks about it, and then Method Man actually says something on the podcast with Carmelo Anthony and Desus from Desus and Mero. So this is what.
All you hear is boom boom. Mm-hmm. You know, people's like this. I get quiet. Boom boom. When that said, Jay wasn't lying. You could, everybody that was on that tour at that point in time was like, we could just pack our and go. He go back and forth. I mean, dripping sweat. They going crazy. In between songs, he can't even hear what he's saying because they screaming. Comes up out the shirt, it's over. He up there with the shirt off now. If he walk on with the dog, it make it even more better. Because I'm looking at the spectacle of this now like, this is incredible. Then the prayer. I'm going to keep it a buck because I love X. The first 10 nights he did that, I felt like I wanted to cry because I knew his story. After the first 10, after that, I was like, man, hurry up with this man.
That's kind of funny. So basically, man, he's giving DMX props, man. They saying he would shut it down when they heard that boom, boom. Hold on, let me pause this background music because I need y'all to understand when that boom boom. I remember when I had to been like 7 or 8, and Mike Tyson. It was like one of his first fights back after the whole Evander Holyfield thing, right? So it was one of his first fights back. I remember my parents, my dad had to watch this fight, so we didn't. Whatever the case, they weren't able to go somewhere. Usually they went somewhere. For those that live around here, they used to go to this place called C.J. Barrymore's. Any of y'all that know, they're still around here. But they used to show the Mike Tyson fights, and that place used to be jumping. And you had to get there early because nobody ever knew if, you know, you'd even be there long because the fight would end quick, obviously. So I remember, whatever the case, they weren't able to go anywhere. So my dad convinced my mom for us, you know, to be able to pay-per-view it. And so we bought it at home. And I remember my dad, let's watch it. And Mike Tyson comes out to this song here. Sounds like something like
Mike
this.
Mike Tyson, as he heads toward the same ring, he made his disgraceful exit in June of 97. The crowd revved up. Tyson entering to some scary, imposing music. Will he be able to intimidate his opponent tonight? Will it even matter?
Y'all don't understand. Them bells started going off. My goodness, it would shake a whole building. It shook this arena. The commentators didn't even know what to say. Mike Tyson coming down to scary and imposing music. I would never forget that line, because the reason why I played that, because that was my introduction to hip hop. DMX. First album. That was my introduction. That's what made me fall in love with hip hop. It was that album. Not only that album, but this entrance by Mike Tyson kind of solidified it. Because here I found out, hey, this is one of the biggest people in the world, biggest athlete in the world. My parents over here talking about how they're going to spend their, you know, I don't know how much it was back then. If it's anything close to what it is now, it's at least $79, $50, $79 to $100 for one night. You know what I'm saying? So I understood. Like I've said before, I understood the reverence, right? So I understood that this was, you know, an important and powerful person in sports. And he decided that he was going to come into the ring to this music. This music that I had heard, you know, a couple weeks before. I don't know exactly when the DMX album dropped as opposed to that fight. That fight was Mike Tyson versus Botha. Let's see. Tyson versus Botha was January 16th, 1999. All right, so I was 9 years old. Let's see when it's that. That was like 2 years before that. This is 98, but when? May 19th, 1998. So I'm less than a year before that. So I had barely heard the album myself, but those bells, I recognized it, the eeriness of it, but still like sounding, but still inviting at the same time. It was weird. It was weird. That intro was weird. But man, it's electric and thunderous. And there's not many other intros like it. And, you know, just for Mike Tyson to enter the ring to that song, it was fitting. It was perfect. It was almost like DMX had made that intro for Mike Tyson. That's what it felt like. And that was my introduction to hip hop. And honestly, it's just a great album. Look, right after that, you got. Come on, man. I'm telling you, I will put this album up against anybody.
Saying though, yo, I'll be hearing shit
and
all that.
That
shit ain't cool, man. You know
what
I'm saying?
See what I see, do as I do, be what I be. Hurt your feet, you judge know why not, I judge not, hurt the streets. They don't make it like this no more. They do not make it like this no more. They don't deserve to be. That wanna murder me. Cause they heard of me. And they know that the dark is for real. The bark is for real. When you see that spark, it'll kill. Peep, how about park it and chill? Take it over there. Walk with it. Come on, man. But don't deserve to be. I got brothers I don't even know that want to murder me. Because they heard of me. That's wild. And that's real. Just because they heard of me. And they know that the bark is for real. Get at me, dog. Come on, the locks went crazy on us, too. Where my dog's at? What must I go through to show you shit is real? And I this one my favorites. You gonna let me fly? I give me that. Let me see the rest. Take my breath. If I don't know, I'm a dying away. I'm in the bone, but I'll be gone any day.
It never was. Hold me down, baby. You gonna let me fly? I give me that. Let my soul rest. Take my breath.
Any day, either let me fly or give me death. Let my soul rest, take my breath. If I don't fly, I'ma die anyway. I'ma live on when I be gone any day. Hold me down, niggas wanna know me now. Didn't wanna play with me, wanna show me how.
Know me out, but it's all about the bark. Let the dog loose, baby, it's about to spark. Light up the night
like the 4th of July.
Niggas know when I let go.
Three, four, you better lock your door. Five, six, get your crucifix. Seven, eight, don't stay up late.
Now this song right here was here. X is going through some stuff. Now y'all want to know about the music industry?
Def Jam.
DMX is trying to warn us from the first album.
Rough Riders.
How you gonna see him if you living in the fog?
My nigga TP, creep with me.
Why is it every move I make turns out to be a bad one? Where's my guardian angel? Need one? Wish I had one.
I'm right here, shorty, and I'ma hold you down.
My brother and I used to argue about if this was DMX or not. This song right here, man. This is.
You know nobody up here. You don't fuck.
With that game being played, how's it going? I can listen to this instrumental like all day, man. Who produced this?
I'm politicking with this chicken, wondering if I'm a creeper. Little hood rap bitch from 25th named Tamika coming
this
through.
Doesn't like sound I know, like,
you know, getting my bark on. Knew she was a thug, cause when I met her, she had a scarf on.
Don't sound like Swiss Beats.
Baby face would look like she was 11 with curls. Girlfriend, remember me from way back? I'm the same cat with the wave cap that my fucker at TNT used to blaze at. Still here, so it's all good.
You know my niggas rich and them doing their thing on 35th Dam. It's a small hood and it's all wood. So let me get that number. I get up. I hit you on the jack later on. See what's up. Talking to Shorty made me wanna do something. Looking at that ass made me wanna do something tonight. And I know right when I see right. Shorty looking like she tight. She bite. Better give a nigga the green light.
When my games are being played, how's it going down?
PK. PK producer. That was a house in-house producer for Rough Riders, maybe. If anybody knows, let me know. Hook me up. I'm always down to learn some new knowledge. So if you know who PK is and you know a little bit about, please send me some stuff so I can get put up on. It's me, Mickey.
Yo, who is it?
It's Mickey.
Who sent you?
Got some like classic break, you know, some classic samples right here. This.
It's crazy, dog.
My brother. shout out Memphis MJ. Hey yo, my brother used to think that this song was two different people. I kept trying to tell him, like, nah, man, this is DMX, man. He's just changing his voice. You know I'm with that show.
Ain't a thing about this shit I can't do, I haven't seen. But when it gets dark, it's like a nigga's having dreams.
Oh, nightmares, the light there, the dessert, what got me like it. Everybody wants to hurt, but paranoid. So I strike out at
whatever.
Closest thing to me's gonna get it, but
whatever.
Will I kill? I think death is wrong.
Okay, this is a deep cut, but it's not a bad song. Like this, to me, there's really no skips on this album. Like you don't have to skip.
Boom, 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 open the door.
ATF.
Too late to send my girl downstairs to say he left with the basement. Go through the replacement door. Come up in my neighbor's yard with a taste for war. You know I laced the...
My dog. Hey man, I used to wear this song out. My goodness. Man, this is such a good album.
Sometimes you just know.
I come to you hungry and tired. You give me food, let me sleep. I come to you weak. You give me strength, and that's deep. You call me a sheep and lead me to green pastures. Only asking that I keep the focus in between the chapters. You give me the word and only ask that I interpret and give me the eyes that I may recognize a serpent. You know I ain't perfect, but you'd like me to try. Unlike the devil who just wants me to lie till I die. Lord, why is it that I go through so much pain? All I saw was black. All I felt was rain. I come to you because it's you who knows. You showed me that everything was black because my eyes were closed. You gave me the light and let me bask in your glory. So it was only right that when you asked for this story, I put it together to do our dog some good. Our dogs being brothers and sisters in the hood. Plenty of times you sent help my way, but I hid. And I remember once you held me close, but I slid. There was something that I just had to see, that you wanted me to see so I could be what you wanted me to be. And I think I've seen it, because I don't feel the same. Matter of fact, I know I've seen it. I can feel the change. And it's strange, almost got me beating down your door. But I've never known love like this before. It's a wonderful feeling to get away from the pain. And up under the ceiling, I get away from the rain. And the strain that I feel when I'm here is gone. I know real, so I wipe away the tear, son. And I almost lost faith when you took my man, Monty, Paso, and Dre's brother Dan. And I fear that what I'm saying won't be heard until I'm gone. But it's all good, because I really didn't expect to live long. So if it takes for me to suffer, for my brother to see the light, give me pain till I die. But please, Lord, treat him right.
Yeah, no, I couldn't skip the prayer.
You tell me that there's love here.
Can't be skipping no prayers around here.
All the blood here, dealing with Satan. Plus with all the hate, it's hard to keep peace. Thou shalt not steal, but I will.
To eat.
I tried doing good.
I'm gonna end with the bars. The bars.
Y'all niggas ready? Are y'all ready?
We're ready.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's by far one of my favorite albums of all time. Still to this day. To this day. To this day. This day here. Yeah, man. So Slum Village, they have a new song. Man, they got this new, I know they got a new album coming. I know it's coming. They haven't put a date on it yet, though. Young RJ, come holla at him. Come holla at me. T3, come holla at me, man. We about to get Slum Village on the podcast, man. I'm telling you, I'm speaking it into existence right now. When the album drops, Slum Village gonna make their way to the MC Nerd Jock show, because it's only right. It's only right. Cause we big Slum Village supporters around here. Alright, so they got this new track with Elijah Fox and Eric Roberson. Eric Roberson has an album with Fonte called Tigarello. That's fire. One of my favorite R&B albums in a minute. Alright, so let's check out this Slum Village. See what it's talking about. It's called Factor.
I'm trying to factor in the good times I spend with you. I'm trying to factor in the way it always ends with you.
I'll be there for you. Yes, I care for you. All I want for you is to give us a go. Go, 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 go. I'll be mad confused. You got issues too. It's like out the blue, but damn, girl, I gotta know. No, 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 let me know something. I need that love back. Can you rewind that? I need that ASAP. Where can you find that? Yo, yo. Tell me where it's at. Where it's at, girl. I'm so frustrated, this love stress related, wake up, aggravated, disintoxicated, dose. 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 Dose.
I'm trying to factor in the good times I spend with you.
It's like, who do I blame? I could be the factor, but the factor remains.
I'm trying to factor in the way it always ends with you.
It's like, who do I blame? I could be the factor, but the factor remains.
It's never for long. Every time we're on, it's just like a song. Somehow it has to end.
Yeah, she's back and forth.
But like the radio.
Yeah. I was thinking about sketching my feelings right out before.
Yeah.
Let me just figure this out. True. All
right, I ain't gonna play the whole song. Y'all need to go ahead and stream that. And go buy it. Yeah, man, that's fire. That's fire, big fire. It's gonna be a dope album, man. I'm really excited for a new Slum Village album in the year 2024. Who, you know what I mean? I mean, I've been following them, so I know that they never really stopped. But people that didn't know and haven't been following them, to hear Slum Village album in 2024, like that means something. I mean, you know, we constantly kind of talk about, like, we, I'm saying we as a hip hop community, we talk about how, you know, why it's a young man's game. Why can't we have people that are able to, you know, have longevity like the Rolling Stones or, you know, whoever it is that we end up comparing our hip hop legends to. But the reality is that there are legends out there that are already doing that. Slum Village is on a tour in Europe right now. And I looked because I was curious, because I'm heading to Europe later this year, and I was like, man, that would be so dope to go see Slum Village in another country. Like, that would be fire. But they're not going to be in the same place that I'm going to be when I'm there. They'll be in Europe when I'm in Europe, but we're not going to be in the same countries. Because, man, that would have been fire. I would have definitely tried to figure out a way to go to the show. But like I said, I mean, they're touring worldwide. So, yes, a Slum Village that came out, I think, originally in, like, 94, 95, when they really, like, were kind of moving locally. So now we're talking 94, 2004, 2014, right? That's 20. 2024. We're talking almost 30 years in the game, really. I mean, definitely for at least young RJ, considering he's a, you know, legacy act, like his parents. His dad was a part of a group in the music, and, you know, had a young RJ's latest arrival. So yeah, I mean, that's over 30 years in the music industry and being consistent, pretty much throughout. So, you know, it's really cool and really incredible to see how, like, you can still hear the passion. You know, T3, when you start this off, T3 sound like he's recording from volume 2, Fantastic volume 2. You know what I'm saying? Look how he sounds.
I'm trying to factor in the way it always ends with you.
Watch how T3 comes in.
Yeah, I'll be there for you. Yes, I care for you. All I want for go. I be mad confused, you got issues too. It's like out the blue, but damn girl, I gotta know. Let me know.
Come on, tell me that don't sound. It's the same. In a good way, it's the same. Yeah. It's gonna be really, man, I'm excited for this Slum Village album when it finally comes. Ooh. Sorry, y'all. I got my phone plugged in and the charger just fell. It messed me all up. And then fell all up into the microphone and just messed everything up. All right, I apologize, y'all. I was looking for some info on this Common and Pete Rock album, but I think it doesn't drop until today. So, but like I said, I'm recording this 2 days earlier. It's Wednesday. A little meta for you. For me, it's Wednesday. You're now listening to this on Friday or in the future, many years into the future. The future. Yes. So please listen to the Common and Pete Rock album, because guaranteed when we come back, back around, I will have listened to it because I'm anticipating it. I'm excited about it. And I wish that it was truly Friday for me so that we could talk about it right now. But as they say, patience is a virtue. So we shall wait. But I did, in process of looking to see if Common and Pete Rock album came out, we do have a new Rhapsody single. So let's play that. It's called Stand Tall.
Yeah. Reading Sufi, say time is money, coin and Rumi. Didn't invent it, just paid attention and listened to what Umi said. Shine your light, bags of bags, no matter if they Tumi brand. Judgments on me, they wondering if I'ma eat the coochie fan. All because I choose a style of sneakers and some baggy pants. Used to make me Aggie, wanna black out like the Aggie fans. I suffer from anxiety, doctors probably tired of me. Trying to meditate to calm, my heart is racing like an ambulance. So I ain't got no answers, you can believe what you choose. I'm trying to focus on sleeping at night without waking up panicking. Steph lost a father, I'm trying to be here for my friends and them. Meese lost a father, I'm trying to be here for my friends and them. Free my spirit so I ain't looking in the mirror seeing Candyman. Though I right hook, kick, push, fight through life like Miss Hannigan. Either you Annie or you Anakin. You gonna shine or fade to black as a result of all your damages. I learned life like bike rides, we gotta handle it. Visits with my auntie, my uncle ashes on the mantelpiece. Her tears never stop, it's like the cycles on a rinse repeat. I'm cut from that cloth, so every day's a mental cleaning spree. Navigating through this business, trying to find some decency. But you only wonder if I eat coochie or like some dick in me. Y'all need to read Dick Gregory, bitches.
Okay. yeah, Rhapsody was going in. I'm going in on y'all real quick. Yeah. So she, Rhapsody, announced her album release. I don't think it's still summer, though. Let's see. Yep, she announced a playlist and release date for her upcoming album, Please Don't Cry. May 17th. So we still got a little time, but it's going to be good. And don't cry about it.
Straight from the Brooklyn streets where they can see me at. Where it's never easy at, that's the world we be at. Real hitters keep the strap for any type of beef or spat. Make your head tilt back like Ed a BC hat. That's where we gon' leave you at, make them take a leaky nap. Anytime that we attack, you don't want a piece of that. That thug mentality can be an aphrodisiac. But you're doing too much, homie, please relax.
Top five lister, double S drifter, separate sipping, and you know I came with it. If she cute with the lips shut and tits like missiles, act right, you can get the Nissan Sentra, nickel nine gripper for all you jack rippers. The driver inside got a license to hit ya. Hop up out the pot and get your top rhyme licked up. We survive shit, you can only catch a whiff of. Locked in way before the top 10, when I had the mutton chop shades in the wide brim, on a different way that I came in the game on. When I levitate, grab my sneakers and hang on.
And we back, and we back, and we back. Yo, so I watched the first two episodes of X-Men 97. Man, I'll get into that. Last time we talked, I think I still hadn't watched Aquaman or Wonka, and I just started getting into House of Ninja. I'm still at the same spot at House of Ninja. Sorry, guys. It's really good. I just haven't been able to watch it. I had to get through this move. Which was crazy hectic, man. That's a whole whole ordeal. Everything was Gucci. Everything went the way it was supposed to. and got taken care of. It's just, you know, that's a whole process. I've probably moved like a good over 10 times in my life before, so I'm used to it, but it's still not fun doing it. So I wasn't able to watch everything like I wanted to, but I've really been excited since I heard about them rebooting X-Men and finally kind of bringing it over to Disney. So I definitely made sure I watched that today, the day it was released. I watched the first two episodes. Where are we at? Spoiler alert. All right, hold on. Let's pause the music because I can't hear my stuff.
Cover your ears, cover your ears. Skip ahead and come back. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Cover your ears. Cover your ears, cover your ears. Skip ahead and come back.
All right, cool. Now we back. All right, so I got my spoiler alerts. So I watched the first two episodes, and I took some notes. Yeah, that's right. I took notes because I'm just that nerdy. Nah, I just wanted to make sure I had like anything that came to mind, so when I came and brought it to you guys, I had everything that I needed, so that we could all, you know, I could be doing this proper for you guys, right? So I did notice at the beginning of. My son asked me, my middle son, he asked me if they were going to have the same intro as they had, you know, on the previous episodes. Because I kind of got them into X-Men, and the X-Men animation that was around when I was a kid. So they got into it, too. So they've seen a lot of the episodes, not all of the seasons, but they've seen a lot of the episodes as well. And so my son was asking me, he was like, yo... All right, this is my middle son who's like, he's going to end up being just as nerdy as me when it comes to like comic book stuff. He's all my sons are into it. But my son is definitely the most into it. so he was asking me, he's like, Dad, yo, are they going to have the same intro that they've always had for the X-Men? And I was like, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. So I made sure, like, when I took a note. So they have the MCU animation opening. This is like a new, I don't know that I really seen them do it this way on What If. I have to go back, and I'll let you guys know next episode, because I forgot to do it. I'll make a little note right now, to go back and look at the What If intro to see if it started at What If or if this is the first time. That we're seeing this type of intro visual. So it's got the MCU visual that comes up. It says Marvel Animation, but we're also, just like when it does the MCU, it gives you little scenes of previous movies. Well, it's giving you like little quick cuts. Like this is very less than a second, like a milliseconds. It's split and cutting, and it jumps from, I took a note. Let's see, who do we see here? We see the Fantastic Four. We see Thing from Fantastic Four, but the 90s animated version of him. We see Spider-Man. The first one we see is Spider-Man, but it's the 1960s, or I think it might have been 80s. Like early 80s when that Spider-Man cartoon, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, came out. So there's that. And then there is... let's see, who else? Oh, they show Silver Surfer from the 90s animation, and then it jumps to What If, and it shows like the zombie Tony Stark from What If, and then that's when it cuts into the remastered theme song from 97. So to answer my son's question, yes, it is the same exact one. They just remastered it, made the instrumental sound a little bit more full. and obviously changed the look to be a little bit more new age 2024 than and not feel as much like the 90s cartoons. But it looks visually, it looks like the same coloring, same everything. It's just a little bit bolder. Like they dark, you know what I mean? Like if the coloring, maybe they colored a little bit harder so that those colors are bolder and stand out even more. They're like stronger. The characters look stronger than they did in the 90s compared to the 90s, because visually they're able to do a little bit more with the animation to make it feel a little bit more realistic in its own world. So that's definitely what they're doing here with X-Men, and they did a good job even from jump. So it kind of starts off with a little brush or a battle with the Friends of Humanity, which is like the Proud Boys of the X-Men world. Also in the intro, I noticed, I wrote a note here that they added Bishop and Morph, because I guess they're going to be regulars and part of the X-Men team. Morph is back with the team, which Morph was one of my favorite characters from back in the day. So it's cool that they're bringing Morph back on as more of a regular, because at the end of the 90s episodes, Morph actually did come back to the crew. They saved him from Sinister, and he came back. So it's cool that they had him on. The Bishop got a haircut. And it looks like we're going to see Sinister too, because they have Sinister in the intro, chasing after Morph. So Storm, it looks like, it sounds almost like the same voice actress, which is dope, because that accent, everything about her just felt very regal. And obviously we follow the comics. Eventually she does become the Queen of Wakanda, while she's married to T'Challa. So obviously Storm is regal, so that's cool. Like I said, Bishop has no dreads anymore. He's got that he's got those sponge curls. they gave Bishop, and he said, all right, we're gonna cut these dreads off, right? We're gonna still keep your hair long, but we're gonna give you the sponge. We're gonna put the sponge on your head. I mean, shout out to Marvel for giving them authentic black haircut, but it's just funny seeing Bishop running around I'm just waiting to see him chilling in the outside the Danger Room, posted up, just sponging the top of his head. That's gonna be hilarious. They should have that. Cyclops is definitely feeling himself as the leader. I wrote that as a note. I feel like he's always been a little cocky, but he's definitely standing on business, because he's you know, head honcho right now. Rogue and Gambit have new voice actors, and I'm not 100% enthused. Not that they're bad actors and actresses, because I think that they did well. Like, they didn't do anything to make me say like, oh, this sucks. It wasn't the same voice that I'm used to hearing. So it's going to take me a second to kind of get used to it, I think. Big spoiler alert, man, with Jean being pregnant. So hopefully you heard the other. I'm going to put a note in here where the spoilers start. So please pay attention. Because I'd like to dive in with these X-Men stuff and not wait. So y'all got to come rock with me. Come jump with me. Jump and dive right in. So Jean has this vision at some point in this first episode. It's like the Sentinel takeover. I imagine that's definitely big foreshadow. It almost reminds me of like the dream that Tony Stark had. An Age of Ultron, which, you know, foreshadowed all the way up to Endgame, for Avengers, you know, Avengers Endgame. So that's like 6 or 7 movies are foreshadowed ahead too. And I feel like this is another one of those big foreshadows. Like, this is going to be very important. going throughout the rest of the season, this vision that she had where these where she's battling the head sentinel. I didn't write his name down. Master Mold. Which they basically just clone. He's the master key. He's the master mold. So then they build all the rest of the sentinels off of this master mold. Which, if you remember from the 90s, the X-Men defeated this and blew up the whole factory. But obviously, you know, these folk that do what they do, they keep a couple in reserve. You know what I'm saying? They keep a couple in a stash. So Jean has this vision. I think it's going to be important. Another note that I have. Let's see. So the X definitely they stepped up. They stepped up their team combo moves. Like you in the trailer, you get that scene where Wolverine gets his claws kind of charged up by Gambit. Like you get that in the first episode, so that's not a big spoiler alert. The fighting style was really cool. Like to show that I feel like they didn't. The X-Men of the 90s, the original, was a lot more of the X-Men showing their powers and not so much their physical ability and training ability. They spend all this time in the Danger Room and they harness their powers, but you don't see a lot of hand-to-hand combat. And you see that from the jump in this first episode. You see hand-to-hand combat. Cyclops is giving people the 1-2 business. And then you also see... you also see the team working together to do different combo moves. So that was kind of cool to see. And all in that first episode, like they really did. I'd give it a 5 out of 5. Honestly, the first episode, they really give you everything that you've been missing and waiting for the last almost 20 years or almost 30 years. They're giving it to you from the jump, as soon as it starts. So I'm with that. Episode 2, it just keeps going, like Charlie Clips, man. So as we saw, Magneto comes and takes over for Xavier in the Last Will and Testament. So here's another thing. Like I was just kind of explaining this to my kids, like. I don't know if people know this or not, but X-Men, the original X-Men comic was created and loosely based upon real life figures. Charles Xavier being based upon Martin Luther King Jr. and Magneto being based on Malcolm X. His teachings. So going into it thinking like that, I try to go into X-Men thinking like that because it always allows me a different perspective to look at Magneto as the same way that Charles does. Because if you look at Magneto the same way that Charles does, then you wouldn't be as surprised as the X-Men were to find out that Charles left his last will and testament and pretty much left everything for Magneto, or as Charles likes to call him, Magnus. So Magneto decides, hey man, this is my homie, that's my ace boon coon, you know what I'm saying, like that's my day one. That's my bestie. Despite all the BS that we normally go through, you asked me to take over and keep your legacy, so that's what I'm going to do. So Magneto's out here being Mr. Superhero. He done changed. He got an M on his chest. Like, he out here doing it. He got a sleeveless shirt. Ain't no more long sleeves with the combat boots. He ain't got none of that. He chilling. He got the arms out. On the spandex suit with the M on it. He letting the hair go. He got the 1980s rock band hair, but it's still luscious. It's still beautiful. It's still nice, luscious, gray, beautiful. Hey, low-key, Magnus, man. I see why he be pulling all the girls, man. He got this long, luscious hair. So Magnus the superhero is out there. He ends up saving the Morlocks, which last time we kind of talked about how I use subtitles and stuff. Oh my goodness, I encourage y'all to start using subtitles when you're watching TV or watching a movie or something, because I found out this whole time I always thought that those mutants that lived in the sewer, I always thought they were called the Warlocks. And so like so when I found out, and this is a little bit of a side note, but like when I found out that Jadakiss, Styles P and Sheik Looch, the original name of the Locks was the Warlocks, like the first thing that popped in my head was those X-Men that lived in the sewer. I was like, oh shoot, man, it's the Warlocks and Styles. And I used to, like, you know what I mean, like that's what it's, I don't know why, that's just what I pictured in my head. But this whole time I was wrong, because I had the subtitles on. And Magneto's talking about how he put the Warlocks, or I thought he was about to say Warlocks, up. You know what I mean? He put them on, he flew them on a private jet to Genosha, the mutant island. But come to find out, they're Morlocks with an M, Morlocks. Not Warlocks, Morlocks, which is interesting. The Moors, Morlocks, right? Interesting. So I put this as a little note. So like Jean has a moment where she comes to Storm and she's talking about how she wishes that her child could be born human and not mutant, which obviously we saw, you know, it's a foreshadow, but we'll get to that. What, I don't know why, but it kind of it made me think of, you know, with that mindset coming in of what X-Men is based upon, and who then, if Charles Xavier is Martin Luther King Jr. and Magneto is Malcolm X, well, that would, and they're both black, I think it's probably safe for me to assume that the rest of the mutants are based upon black people. They're, you know, mutant is another name for N-word, basically, is the impression that I'm getting based off of knowing the fact of why the story of the X-Men were even created. Because really the story of the X-Men is really the story of two friends with different views. The story of the X-Men is not about Cyclops. It's not about Wolverine. It's not about Storm. It's not about Jean. The story of the X-Men is about Professor X and Magneto. So yeah, man. So Jean is sitting there with Storm, and she says she wishes her child could be born human. So I kind of put a note in here towards the end of slavery, and as black people are starting to be free, you know, often people would try to go as what was considered passing, like you pass. So for instance, like in my instance, I mean, usually you wouldn't have interracial couples, but like my you know, my wife is white. And I mean, this wouldn't even be realistic, but let's just say for some reason someone in the family at some point was with a white person, right? So you might have some fair skinned people in the family. And so some people would almost often even pray that their children would come out more light skinned so that they could do what's called, they could pass for white. Obviously, you know, there's a famous case before the Brown versus Board of Education, and so now we're getting all in the history and stuff, right? My phone is trying to lock up on me. Right before Brown versus Education. Oh, man. So. Nah, it's gonna bother me. All right, I might have to go back in there and edit it, or I have to come back with y'all next time. Oh, Plessy versus Ferguson. I'm pretty sure that's it. Plessy versus Ferguson. Yep, because that was my man's on the train car. So Ferguson would pass as white, and so that's where they came up with the separate but equal rules. So, like, yeah, so this is a theme, right? This is something that was going on during the Jim Crow days of people trying to pass as white so that they could be able to move freely and not have to go through all of the BS. That people went through being colored in America, right? And that's what they called it back then, being black in America. So I although I personally cannot relate to that, I related to the idea of Jean wanting her child to be born into a world that wouldn't treat them differently just because of how they look. So that was kind of cool that they even had that, because obviously, you know, if you're watching X-Men through the lens of, hey, this is almost a metaphor for the black struggle, then things start to become very relatable. So another thing that was really cool was Wolverine and Jean. So Jean ends up having, going into labor, and man, that just quickly showed me why Wolverine and Jean, they would work, but it would be a lot more Jean, like, taking care of Logan and making sure Logan's safe, where, you know, probably often gets underestimated, because I think as fans, we want to see Logan happy. So we, you know, we root for Jean and Logan, even though Jean already got a man. I got him, man. What's your man got to do with me? Wolverine constantly over there singing the positive K. What's your man got to do with me? I got him, man. I'm not trying to hear that, see? That's Wolverine. I'm not trying to hear that, see? Oh, you're in labor? What's your man got to do with me? I'll drive you. So, yeah, Wolverine's over here driving up on the sidewalk. He's about to hit people. She's trying to use her psychic ability to get people out of the way while she's also experiencing labor pains. Like, Wolverine just be doing too much, man. And Scott got his stuff together. That's why. That's the real reason why Jean isn't with Logan, because she knows. She knows he gonna drive her crazy. She gonna have a heart attack messing around with Logan. Scott Summers is safe. He got his stuff together. That's why she's with Scott Summers. But that's why she also still be loving Logan, because she longs for that unpredictable edginess that she ain't gonna never get from Scott Summers. I don't know why I'm breaking down the love relationship of a cartoon, but hey, here we are. And thus, Wolverine got Jean to the hospital for them to for Rogue to deliver. I mean, ain't that some ish, man? I gotta stop. I can't be watching X-Men, man. They just be painting real life stuff. But they got all the way to the hospital just for the doctor to say, nah, man, we don't deliver your type. Your babies. Your baby's different. We don't deliver them babies up in here. So, I mean, that's just wild. Crazy, man. Man, I can't wait to these next episodes. Something happened at the end. I mean, I feel like I done spoiled enough. They got my girl Storm. Yeah, my girl Storm. Storm. Yeah, I know. That's how I felt. That's how I felt when I saw it happen. They had her they had Storm out there like Morris Chestnut. Ricky. Storm. Oh, man. They did her dirty. They really did, though. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with the rest of the season. The first two episodes, I mean, I'm locked in. I'm hooked. But I was already hooked before they even did it, so maybe I'm an easy pleaser. But, yeah, I'm going to try to take notes with the stuff, man. I hope. Let me know if you guys like the note-taking. I feel like it's a little bit easier for me to analyze it the way I want to and bring it to you guys in a way that's a little bit deeper than just, oh, hey, yeah, this was cool. I like that scene. But then, you know, I can kind of bring you guys a little bit more, you know, a little bit more to the table, and especially with X-Men. Like, that's kind of deep in my bag when it comes to Marvel nerdiness. Like, X-Men is kind of my specialty. So I want to bring you guys all that I have to offer when it comes to that. So, yeah, I got to take notes. Just so I can remember everything when it comes back, when it comes down to record with you, or, you know, recording a podcast and sitting down with you guys as I like to do. But yeah, man, April 14th, like I said, we're going to be still outside. Calico versus Reed Dollars, the Black Mafia Battle League, Calico's his own league. This isn't Smack. This isn't, you know, anybody else. This is Calico's league. And he's doing his first ever event in my hometown, Mount Clemens. So, of course, the MC Nerd Jock Show will be there. Had to be there. Could not have an event like this happening in my hometown and me not be there. So GameCube Dad Dude, the MC Nerd Jock Show will be in the building. We still outside, April 14th, 3 p.m. Calico's telling everybody, you got to have a ticket. They ain't letting nobody in unless you have a ticket. Nobody. Even me. I'm going as press. So, you know, it's going to be tight, man. One of my low-key favorites. Well, it's not low-key. I like to tell people because I think he's dope. Is Solo. So I'm excited to see Solo. We got some other hometown. I think X-Factor. Like, there's going to be Pontiac in the building. Detroit in the building. Mount Clemens in the building. We all going to represent. It's going to be tight. April 14th. Still outside. 3 p.m. It's a Sunday show. So it's during the day. 3 p.m. Doors open. Until next time, y'all.
Show was brought to you by the United Negro Podcasting Guild of America, where we be podcasting. This episode was recorded at an undisclosed location in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. Edited in an undisclosed studio in New Baltimore, Michigan. All episodes of the MC Nerd Jock Show are brought to you by GC Productions. You already know. The intro and outro of the MC Nerd Jock Show are produced by none other than the legendary producer, Slumber Logic.